Good morning. Thank you for being here this morning. If you will, take your Bibles, open up to 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to look at several verses there in a moment. And as you've probably noticed, we're down one monitor to your left. For some reason this morning, it decided not to participate. So I had to shut it off. I appreciate Brother Aaron reading from Galatians chapter 6. Bouncing back, that's the title for the lesson. Bouncing back from what we would call burnout. Bouncing back from discouragement. Bouncing back from depression. You know, whatever you want to call it, it is surely what Elijah, I believe, was experiencing while he sat alone in a cave. 1 Kings chapter 19, starting in verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel, y'all remember Jezebel? And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and so what did he do? He slaughtered all of the false prophets. And with all how he had slain all of the prophets with the sword, then Jezebel sent a message unto Elijah saying, so let the God do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Jezebel was after him, threatening to take his life. And then verse 3, and when he saw that he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth unto Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Poor Elijah. I imagine he was probably pretty tired after slaying all the false prophets. But then Jezebel sent Ahab, or Ahab told Jezebel what Elijah had done. So she sent a messenger to Elijah and said, look here, I'm going to get you. And poor Elijah, he wandered off and went out into the wilderness all alone because, you know, he left his servant and sat underneath a juniper tree and basically became discouraged, depressed, perhaps even burnt out. Notice now verse 9 and 10. And he came hither unto a cave and lodged there and said, behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what dost thou hear, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. You know, maybe at times we have found ourselves kind of like Elijah, have we not? I mean, I don't believe that there's anybody here that's had their life threatened or someone is going to try to take your life. But many times, because we think within ourselves that we're so alone, that nobody cares, nobody understands. You know, Elijah was kind of like this. You know, the Lord comes to him and says, Elijah, what are you doing sitting here all by yourself in that cave? Well, he said that he was jealous. He was annoyed. He was tormented. He was beside himself. Have we ever felt like that? But God's advice to Elijah was twofold. God reminded Elijah that he was not alone. Didn't Elijah feel like that, you know, hey, I'm all by myself. Nobody cares. Nobody understands. And the second thing is that if you read on, God commissioned Elijah back into service. He did not allow him to sit there and pout and feel sorry for himself. He got him back to work. Now, I believe that we would be mistaken to think that perhaps God intended that these two actions to be exhaustive responses to burnout, discouragement, depression. So this morning, I want to share, I hope, several things that we can do to help us to overcome burnout, discouragement, depression, whatever you want to call it. But first of all, let's look at a couple of things that is not the right way to handle discouragement, depression, and burnout. Too many times when we feel like Elijah, when we feel discouraged, when we feel depressed, when we feel burnout, like nobody cares, nobody understands, what do we want to do? Well, we want to do just what Elijah did. We want to go hide. We want to quit. But notice, if you will, Job, what he done in Job chapter 1 and verse 20. After everything that happened to Job, he arose, he rent his mantle, he shaved his head, and he fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you right now, if this happened to me, what happened to Job, I would find the deepest, darkest cave to set myself in. Not necessarily a real, true cave, but too many times we let our minds trap us, don't we? We let our minds trap us and we get into that deep, dark place. And we feel that there's nobody there to offer assistance or help. We can't understand why people seem so happy and joyous when we're so miserable. But Job, to me, I would be very miserable if just one thing happened to me that happened to Job. But he rose up, rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down and worshiped. He didn't let what happened make him quit. Too many times when we fall into the category of the discouragement and depression, maybe even burnout, what is one of the first things that we think about wanting to do? Well, let's just go to a different congregation. Am I right? Acts chapter 14 and verse 2 and 3. Now this is kind of follow me along here, okay? But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, fussing, carrying on, and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Too many times when we are in that dark place, when we're in that place of discouragement, depression, and burnout, do we not sometimes try to make other people's life miserable? Because we're so miserable, we want them to kind of feel like we feel. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which God gave testimony to the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. What I'm saying here is what these two verses is talking about is they did not allow the Jews to affect them. They didn't allow all of the naysaying and all the things that they were doing to discourage the Gentiles from serving Christ. And what we have here is Luke writing, "In a long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony." They did not allow them to make them go into their dark place. They did not allow the Jews to run them off. And another way that we should not handle discouragement and depression is to withdraw and isolate ourselves. Many times that's exactly what we want to do, isn't it? That's exactly what we want to do. We want to withdraw and isolate ourselves from those that are around us. Even our brothers and sisters sometimes, where we should be looking for comfort and encouragement, we simply withdraw from them. Proverbs 12, verse 15. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Brothers and sisters, when we are in that dark place many times, when we're full of discouragement and perhaps even depressed, go to our brothers and sisters and seek wise counsel. Don't sit and just brood and say, "Woe, woe is me. Why do people not understand what I'm going through?" You know, Elijah was having that same conversation in his head. "They just don't understand. You know, I'm the only one left." And God had to remind him, "Hey, Elijah, calm down. You're not the only one left." But too many times, that's how we feel. We feel like that we're the only one. We withdraw and isolate ourselves. And we do this many times when we are feeling sorry for ourselves. Am I right? We kind of withdraw. We isolate ourselves because we're feeling so sorry for ourselves. People just don't understand. So those are some of the things that are bad. A bad way to handle depression and discouragement and burnout. So how do we handle it? You know, back when my father passed away, I have a cousin. It was my dad's sister's son. He's a very good singer. Plays guitar. He's very good. And both my mother and my dad wanted him to sing at their funerals. So a week or so before, maybe 2 weeks before my dad passed away, I called him on the phone and asked him how he was doing. He said, "Well, I'm really depressed." I said, "Well, you know how to fix that, don't you?" He said, "How?" He generally wanted to know. My simple answer was, "Stop being depressed. you have the power to stop being depressed. So how do you do it? How can you stop being depressed, or how can you stop being so discouraged? How can you stop being burnt out? You know, that's a favorite word of a lot of people today. I'm just so burnt out. Number one thing to do. Now, if you're taking notes, write this down. It's very important. Rest. It's that simple. That's one thing. How do I know that rest is a good recipe for discouragement, depression, and burnout? Well, Jesus gave us the example. Matthew 14, verse 13. Now, what you've got to understand here is this. Jesus had just heard about John the Baptist, about him being beheaded. He had just heard about his cousin, the person that had actually baptized him, had been put to death. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place, apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. He went to be by himself to rest, to pray. He could have become angry. He could have become depressed. He could have been discouraged. Now we see it here that he rested due to grief. Sometimes we just need to stop and take time out. Jesus rested due to being overwhelmed. Now, this verse here, this is not talking about Jesus being overwhelmed. This was the disciples. The disciples had become overwhelmed. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart to a desert place and rest a while. For there are many comings and goings, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Jesus said, y'all need to stop and rest. Because if you don't, you're going to become discouraged. You're going to be depressed. And you might even get burned out. And then in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, Jesus rested so that he could pray. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed to a solitary place and there prayed. Do you believe that rest is important? What happens if you don't get enough rest? I know with me, I get kind of cranky. I don't know about you all, but if I don't get enough rest, I get cranky, then things start to agitate me. Just the slightest little thing get agitated because I've not had the proper amount of rest. And when we get to the point of discouragement and depression and burnout, it's because we perhaps have not taken enough time to rest. Sometimes we just need to take a vacation. Now, please understand this. Yeah, we need to take vacation sometimes. Not a vacation from God. But we need to take time for ourselves to recharge. That's what Jesus was doing. That's what he was doing for his disciples, to keep them from burnout, discouragement, and depression. The first thing we should do is rest. The second thing we should actually delegate. All right? Acts chapter 6 and verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. You remember what happened? Some of the widows were not being looked after. They were being left out. So they come to the apostles and said, hey, you know, some of the widows are not getting their share. Well, look among yourselves and find the right type of men to oversee this. What did the disciples do here? They delegated. They gave the job to someone else. You know, we may at times have to let things fail. You know, we can't, you know, do everything ourselves. You know, some people believe they can. We need to delegate. And then I believe that we need to set goals very carefully. Goals are important to success. But often the problem comes in, our goals sometimes become a source of discouragement. Why? Because we have set our goals so high that we can't achieve them. We need to set goals very carefully. And we need to make sure that the goals that we do set depend on ourselves and not someone else. If our goals is dependent on someone else, they may never be achieved, and then we become discouraged, we become depressed, we burn out because our goals are not set for us as individuals to achieve. We cannot allow our goals to be contingent on someone else. And we need to set boundaries. We need to set boundaries. Telling someone no, or telling someone I cannot do it at this moment, they're not bad words. But sometimes we feel like we just can't say no. And because we have committed ourselves to so many different things, we become discouraged and depressed and burn out because we can't achieve the things that we've said that we would do. Sometimes we just simply need to say no. I can't do it. Those are not dirty words. We need to take time for ourselves and our family. Am I right? Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now we understand that this is talking about monetarily taking care of your family, providing for your family. But I'll guarantee you, if the husband and the wife are depressed and discouraged and are going through burnout, brothers and sisters, it affects the whole family. That's why we need to take time, not only for ourselves, but time for our family. So how not to handle burnout or discouragement or depression? Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. Yeah, things may look bleak. You may be in that dark cave in your mind. You may be saying, you know, nobody cares, nobody understands, I'm all alone. You know, why do people not come to help? Well, have you asked for help? You know, that's one thing I'm glad that God did not grant us. And that is the power to read other people's minds. I'm glad we can't do that. So unless we speak up, how does people supposed to know? And simply, you know, changing congregation is not going to solve the issue. And we cannot withdraw and isolate ourselves. Elijah did, and it didn't work out very well. We need to rest. We need to delegate. We need to set goals that we can achieve and not be dependent on someone else. And we need to set boundaries. Setting boundaries is one of the most important things I believe we can do. Because if we don't set boundaries, what happens? People run over us. They do. So remember this truth. We are responsible to someone, but we are not responsible for someone. In other words, we cannot make decisions for them, even though we might like to do that. But we cannot make decisions for other people. It's not within our power. They have to make the decision themselves. I hope this morning that these things would help. If you're in that dark place, if you're in a place where you simply can't see the light, as they say, at the end of the tunnel, please know that there are people waiting and willing to help. If you're struggling with burnout, if you're struggling with depression, if you're just struggling with whatever the case may be, you know, we're here to help. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, that would be very depressing because you'd be lost. If you'd like to be baptized and have your sins washed away, would you come? Or if you're already a child of God, or perhaps see that you need the prayers of the saints, for whatever reason, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record you'll see. Someday you'll answer the question of life. What will your answer be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? Sadly you'll stand if you're unprepared. Trembling you'll fall on your knee. Facing the sentence of life or of death. What will that sentence be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? What will it be? What will your answer be? Now is the time to prepare, my friend. Make your soul spotless and free. Washed in the blood of the crucified one, he will your answer be. What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your